Alice Munro, Dear Life. The train is out of sight. He hears it putting on a bit of speed, clear of the curve. He spits on his hurting hands, getting the gravel out, then picks up his bag and starts walking back in the direction he has just covered on the train. If he followed the train, he would show up at Clover Station, well after dark. He'd still be able to complain that he'd fallen asleep and wakened all mixed up, thinking he'd slept through his stop when he hadn't. Jumped off all confused, then had to walk. He would have been believed, coming home from so far away, home from the war. He could have got mixed up in his head. It's not too late. He would be where he was supposed to be before midnight. But all the time he was thinking this, he was walking in the opposite direction. He doesn't know many names of trees. Maples, that everybody knows. Pines, not much else. He'd thought that where he'd jumped was in some woods, but it wasn't. The trees are just along the track, thick on the embankment, but he can see the flash of fields behind them. Fields green, or rusty, or yellow. Pasture, crops, stubble. He knows just that much. It's still August. And once the noise of the train has been swallowed up, he realises there isn't the perfect quiet around that he would have expected. Plenty of disturbance here and there. A shaking of the dry August leaves that wasn't wind. The racket of some unseen birds chastising him. Jumping off the train was supposed to be a cancellation. You roused your body, readied your knees to enter a different block of air. You looked forward to the emptiness. And instead, what did you get? An immediate flock of new surroundings, asking for your attention in a way they never did when you were sitting on the train and just looking out the window. What are you doing here? Where are you going? A sense of being watched by things you didn't know about, of being a disturbance. Life around coming to some conclusions about you from vantage points you couldn't see. People he'd met in the last few years seemed to think that if you weren't from a city, you were from the country. And that was not true. There were distinctions you could miss unless you lived there, between country and town. Jackson himself was the son of a plumber. He had never been in a stable in his life, or herded cows, or stooked grain. Or found himself as now, stumping along a railway track that seemed to have reverted from its normal purpose of carrying people in freight to become a province of wild apple trees and thorny berry bushes and trailing grapevines and crows. He knew that bird at least, scolding from perches you could not see. And right now, a garter snake, slithering between the rails, perfectly confident he won't be quick enough to tramp on and murder it. He does know enough to figure that it's harmless, but the confidence riles him.